You guys, welcome back to the Law of Attraction Secrets podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Graziano. Today in the studio, we're here with Lisa Stewart. She is a podcast host. She's an author. She's an attorney. She's an entrepreneur. And today's episode is all about how to detox from the chaos and the drama in your life. We're going to be learning about how to get away from the drama because I know somebody out there right now is going through chaos. I know somebody out there has got chaos in their love life, in their business, with their children. I don't know what area you're going through, maybe with your finances. Today, we're going to learn all about confidence and self-love and how to literally detox from the drama that you're going through and how to step into a good version of you versus a people-pleasing version of you. It is so powerful. I've personally learned so much, and I learned to pause, not react, but take action. Ooh, it's so good. And we pull some cards. You're going to see all about it inside. Welcome to the show, Lisa Stewart.
Thank you so much, Natasha. I'm so happy to be here.
So happy that you're here.
Yes.
Okay. There's so much I want to ask you. I was going through everything with you. I love your world. Like when I met you at the podcast and the time before and your amazing book, and I just thought this is a woman who should be on this show because I know there's women out there today who will be inspired by that. And I want to ask you why. Do some people stay addicted to drama?
I love that you started off that way. Well, first of all, there are something that I call in my book, there's drama magnets and there's drama addicts, right? So somebody could be a drama magnet without realizing it. So you can either be a conscious drama magnet or an unconscious one. And the difference is, are you the one stirring the pot? Are you the one that thrives on the drama and needs that drama to keep you feeling alive because you're not revealing things in your own life that need to be healed? Or are you the victim to the drama? Are you the drama magnet that's the victim because you're like, why do I keep sucking and attracting drama to me without realizing that you actually have the power to stop it?
Okay, this is wild because I didn't even know that there's like a whole psychology behind drama. But I have to be honest, I used to be addicted to the drama. I was the stirrer when I was young. I grew out of that and decided that all I want now is peace.
Yes.
I am now the person who when drama is around, I exit the room. I don't want to talk about people, keep my mouth shut. I don't want to be a part of it. But drama is addictive. Yes. And I know that because I still am addicted to drama in relationships. Why am I addicted to drama in relationships?
Can we unpack that a bit? I would love to do a deep dive, a drama dive with you. But first of all, I just want to clarify something. Drama never dies. Drama is chaos. Chaos is endless. It never dies. It's energy that just morphs and reforms into different things that you have. So the drama is never going to go away, whether it's a broken nail, a pandemic, or a toxic relationship. So dissecting into why are you addicted to drama and relationships. Everything starts and ends with the relationship we have with ourselves. I know you know this as a master manifester. So whatever is not healed within yourself, you're attracting because there's something within you that needs that drama to keep something alive in you. Because also when we withdraw from drama, I'm sure you're familiar with Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Of course.
When we withdraw from things that feel bad to us, we actually, in order to feel good, it makes us feel bad because we're addicted to the things that we're used to. So you're addicted to drama-filled relationships.
Toxicity.
And when you try to withdraw from that, it probably makes you feel worse. So you need to get your fix.
It does. It makes you feel horrendous. When I withdraw from the dramatic relationship, I'm like, at first I'm like, oh, thank God. And then I'm like, no. And you end up spinning back.
Yes.
And I have three girlfriends. They were all at my house last night. We were hanging out, catching up, doing like a nice catch-up girly evening. And we're sitting there and three of them out of all of us were like, oh, I'm spinning back on my ex. And in fact, I did too. What is that? Why are we addicted to somebody who mistreated us?
Because your body is used to that. Your emotional response system is used to that. It's you are in a situation where they're feeding something. Drama feeds off of you, but it feeds into you. That's why the drama diet is, what are you feeding yourself and what are you letting eat you up inside? When you digest something and you accept it, you're allowing that to come into your life. So going back to your ex, wanting to go back to him is because maybe there's something unresolved within yourself that you haven't taken a look at yet.
Oh, that's so crazy. It's like putting up a mirror to myself.
Yes.
Wow.
The hardest thing to do.
How did you realize that drama is addictive? And at what point did you make that change and then now go on and coach people to get out of drama?
Oh my goodness. So it took me over four decades, to be honest. Okay. I was such I was the official drama magnet.
Really?
The official people pleaser. I had drama in every form in my life. I had to break generational chains within my family. I had to learn self-love and self-worth through the relationship with my current husband, which we had broken up. So in our 1.0 relationship, it was toxic. In our 2.0 relationship, we're together. But that journey led me to realize that everything that happened in my life was happening because I was allowing it to happen. And I had to step into my self-worth. And stepping into my self-worth and my self-power meant everything around me had to crumble. All those foundations had to crumble so that I could rebuild. And so while in my professional life as a lawyer, I would advocate for other people. And I would say, I'm advocating for them, but who's advocating for me in my own life?
Right, right, right.
That was the point. The point of no return.
So how do you find as an attorney as well? You know, you have this background, which is so incredible. So whenever you have, you know, how do you stay away from the drama? Because really that you're just dealing with drama. So how do you compartmentalize it and stay at your peace, if you know what I mean?
So the whole premise of the drama diet is drama is going to be swirling around us and within us.
Right.
And the point is to stay calm within the storm, to find the eye within the storm, because it's always going to be there. It's not looking at things and saying there's no drama. It's embracing the shadows, embracing the dark side. The drama diet is all about embracing the good and the bad, the dark and the light, right? And saying it's okay to have both. We need to embrace it all in order to accept it all. So it's not going to go away. And right. Once we learn to accept that, embrace it, acknowledge it, become aware of it, we can alchemize it into the energy that we want for that situation. So it's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of shifting our lens. And it's a matter of responding and not reacting.
Ooh, and that's the hardest thing to do.
So hard.
Respond, not react. Yes. And people will be like, wait, I don't understand the difference. I'm like, sweetie, let me tell you the difference. In Kabbalah, they say pause.
I love that you study that.
Yeah. Yeah, 15 years. In Kabbalah, we say, pause, what a pleasure. So when something happens negative, you don't react back. And it's so easy. I reacted the last week crazy. I think I, you know, like it must be the time of the month.
That's but okay.
I know my normal reaction is pause. That is my reaction, is pause and think, what a pleasure.
Yes.
In fact, the girl that you just met, I don't think she's still in the studio. She's great at pausing. And she often just, her face will pause. And I watch it and it reminds me to pause. Mm-hmm. She doesn't react to things. When I think I'm going to get a reaction, she'll be like, and I don't want a reaction. And she doesn't give it. And I'm like, very good. Mm-hmm. Like, it's perfect. And she's reminding me to pause. But that is what we learn in Kabbalah, is to go pause. What a pleasure. Why is this happening in my movie? Why is this thing that is happening right now going on in my movie? Why is this happening right now? And then you start to realize you react later. So by reacting later, you end up not reacting at all because you've paused. So now you're responding. And then the actual thing to do is to take action. So it's completely different. Reacting is like, I hate you. Why did you do that? Or I don't agree. Go crazy at them. But what the real thing to do is pause and then later be like, I'm going to take action upon it. I'm going to send you flowers. I'm going to pause. I'm going to take a bit more time. What's your action that is positive towards the thing that just happened?
Oh my gosh, I love all that. There's so many things that I want to unpack on that. So you literally describe chapters 5 and 6 of my book.
Okay, let's just take a look at this book while we're here, you guys. The Drama Diet.
Things, yes.
This is an amazing book. I truly recommend it. It's something that can sit on your side. And whenever you're going through something, open the page and see where it lands.
Thank you. It's amazing. And it's actually meant that you can open up at any page in any point of the book. There is a formula to it. There is a formula because the premise of the drama diet is, and I have hand movements involved, it's disrupt the drama, deflate the drama, and detox the drama. And those are divided into chapters 5 through 11. And the premise of the drama diet is that you need to be aware of it, acknowledge it, your thoughts, emotions, your actions. But what I love that you said is chapter 5 is all about, because every chapter I have a case law as part of being an attorney. So chapter 5 is respond, don't react. Respond versus react. Mm-hmm. Chapter 6 is act, don't react, right? So chapter 5 is all about how do you respond? And then chapter 6 is take action. My grandfather, who was way ahead of his time back in the 80s, yes, I'm dating myself, used to always tell us as children, act, don't react. And that always stuck with me. And I love what you said about the pausing, because I tend to talk fast. I tend to think fast. So I don't tend to pause all the time when I think. But when we're in a situation and we don't pause, we don't take a beat, it doesn't give us time to really assess the situation as a neutral observer rather than getting caught up in that chaos. And one more thing I want to add is I love the fact that you acknowledged it as a movie. That is part of chapter 6, that it's our movie. I have an acronym for it's our movie as well, because I love my acronyms. But it is our movie, as I'm sure we know, we've discussed off record, is that we are the script writers, the producers, directors, the main actor. Don't be a supporting role in your movie. Mm-hmm. And we forget how much this life is really just, it's for us to create. And one more fun fact I read in here is that the words creative and reactive are the same letters, just rearranged.
Whoa.
So rearrange your energy. If you're reactive, you're not going to be creative. And the law of duality deals with the scales of justice, because I'm an attorney, but it's also that everything in life, you're either leaning into love, leaning into fear, leaning into light, leaning into dark. It's life is going to be like this as long as you stay calm and balanced in the middle as the fulcrum. Life is going to be all over the place like this. So are you going to react or are you going to create? So there's all these plays in the book on the premise of all this energy.
Wow. Oh, I just know somebody needs it. The link's below for anybody who is looking at this book and maybe needs a little break. Maybe give it to your mom, your sister, your husband. Somebody needs it. And it's for men too.
Yes, for men too.
It's great. I believe that books change our lives. And every book I've ever been given has changed my life in some way. And I really love books. I have so many, and so many clients who I've helped grow the books of and get them out there in the world, and they all sit on my shelf. Mm-hmm. And I love giving books out as well.
Well, I have your book on my shelf. Your book is a game changer too. So amazing to you.
I love that. What's the difference between confidence and self-love?
So I love that you asked me that, because in my book, I talk about the difference between confidence and self-worth. So I guess self-worth is adjacent to self-love. So as a trial attorney, I've always had a lot of confidence walking into the courtroom, stilettos high, chin high, confidence high, but self-worth has always been low, because a confident exterior can hide an unworthy interior. And the way that I differentiate between the both is you could be confident and feel your best outwardly, externally, but if you don't feel you are worthy, that you deserve what you desire, that hits your self-worth. And that is the biggest thing that I had to work on. So thank you for asking me about that.
That is so interesting. Well, I mean, for me, I feel like confidence is just competence. When I started to realize, where's my confidence come from? It's because I'm so freaking good at what I do. But I won't talk about religion and I won't talk about politics because I don't know those areas. But I'll talk about what I know because I'm so good at it. And that gives me my confidence from within.
Yes.
Self-love comes from the fact that I'm just so grateful for life.
Yes.
And that I love me.
Yes.
And I never tell myself, you idiot. I'm like, well done, baby. You do what I call myself baby.
Aww.
It's like a sweet name for myself. And I think we should all have a name for ourselves, whether it's our name or whatever it is, and tap into that. And that self-love, every day I wake up and I hug myself and I say, I love you. I just hug myself. And it feels so nice to give myself that peace.
I love that.
So there's definitely practices. Give us a really good practice for self-love.
Okay. So one of my favorite things, I have an acronym called FLY, F-L-Y. And in order to love yourself, you have to first love yourself, F-L-Y, first love yourself. That's how you elevate yourself. That's how you feel good, right? So doing things for yourself, I'm constantly rewiring my identity, right? So what I'm doing is I'll stop myself. I'll literally stop myself. If I have a disruptive thought, if that mean girl in my head starts to say something, I'll literally put my hand up. It's the first D of my 3D drama-free formula. I'll go stop, and I won't even let myself go there. And I'll be like, that thought is not true. I love myself. Mm-hmm. I'm worthy of this. And I'll literally feel the energy of everything. And I have shifted my life by jumping timelines, by just having an identity upgrade, right? And I know that I could say this to you because I know that you understand this. And it's just literally like that version of myself doesn't work. So where I am today, if I'm not happy with myself, and we all have those moments, not everything's going to be all wonderful and positive at the same time. I'm going, I must have been at a really low vibrational point before to get to this point. So I'm not going to analyze it. I'm not going to do a guilt trip on myself. I'm just going to say, nope, I deserve more. I love myself. I'll constantly rearrange my energy, and everything around me sort of dissolves and dissipates into this new energy, and I don't judge it. Mm. And that lets me go forward in self-love.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
What's one thing that people tolerate that they absolutely should not?
People crossing boundaries to the, like, other people crossing boundaries. So we get what we tolerate. And when other people are coming at you and they're like, why are they attacking me? The circle of safety around ourselves gets closer and closer and closer because we're letting people invade our space and we're not putting up our loving boundaries because maybe we think we're guilty. Like,
right.
like how could we do that? How right. can we say no? We get what we tolerate until we get to a point where it's enough. And at that point, it's somebody's breaking point. And at the breaking point, hopefully it's the breakthrough. But at that point, they can learn to not wait until it gets too close to them.
I agree with that. Not waiting until it is right up on you and you're emotional, you're hurt, you're in pain, however it might be. It's so much easier to make decisions before that point because at that point, you're at the breaking point.
Yes.
And then, like you say, you have the breakthrough. But hey, how about recognizing, no, this is already too far for me. I don't enjoy that. Let me put distance.
Yes.
Whether it's a relationship, a business relationship, or a friendship, there are points where we have to put boundaries in place and say no to say yes to ourselves.
100%. I think it's chapter 11. I have a concept that came up saying, be a kind bitch, if I could say that.
Oh, girl. Girl, say that again.
Be a kind bitch. And I have an acronym. I don't remember the acronym. It's in the book. So my whole point is nice is a doormat. I was told my whole life that I was the nicest person. And all nice means is like, I'm a doormat. Come step on me. Kind is different. When you're kind, you put up loving boundaries. So I say, be a bitch with boundaries. Be a kind bitch. Loving yourself and having boundaries is how you can tolerate people and still have compassion. And one more thing I learned from somebody who is a former empath, I thought being empathetic was like, you're supposed to be empathetic. You're supposed to take on other people's feelings. No, you're supposed to be compassionate. Be a kind bitch. Set your boundaries. Be compassionate, but preserve your own energy. That is self-love. That is not selfish. That is self-preservation.
Oof. Girl, you are so good at this. Why do people stay in relationships that are clearly no longer serving them? And I know we're talking about boundaries, so that feels like a great place to kind of ask that right now. But why are people staying in relationships that are no longer serving them?
Because they're comfortable. They're comfortable with what they know. If they want to change their relationship, it's going to like have a ripple effect and cause chaos in their lives and other people. And they may not want to deal with like the backlash from that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So essentially, it's just easier to stay.
Easier to stay.
Comfort is the enemy of growth, though.
Drama is the unknown. So people don't want to deal with the unknown. They don't want to deal with drama. Comfort is the enemy.
Although they sometimes do.
Yeah.
So sometimes they're addicted, like you say, to the drama.
Yes.
Whenever I saw your book, I remember when we first connected, and I thought, the drama diet, that's so clever.
Yes.
Because you're doing a diet around the drama. You're stopping it. You're detoxing and saying, what's better for my body? What's a good replacement of drama?
Peace, freedom, clarity. The drama diet is how to metabolize all the chaos in your life. And there's recipes and exercises, which are really cute. I have them in my card decks too, because it's a diet. But also it's how to lose the weight of what feels really heavy on you. The reason I came up with the drama diet was back in 2010, I would walk into my office every single day. I had so much drama going on in my life. I was going through a divorce. I had other drama I was dealing with. And my coworker would always say to me, what's the drama of the day? Because I'm like, oh, I have so much drama. And one day I'm like, I just want to go on a drama diet. And from then, the concept took place. And then the universe really has a sense of humor because the universe is like, oh, you want to go on a drama diet? I am going to throw you every drama dart in the world and you see how you're going to deal with it. And it took about 10 years to really go through way more drama than I ever expected to get to the point of like, okay, this is what I learned from it. This is how I can help people. That's the reason why I wrote the book. I'm like, it doesn't matter what I went through, but learn from me. Learn from the things that helped me. It may not help you, or maybe this chapter will help you. Maybe that chapter won't. But these things that have helped me, it's the trial attorney in me. I had to prove it. I had to get the evidence. I had to make sure that it worked. Everything in this book, I went through myself. I've tried it for myself and it worked for me. Hopefully it'll work for you. Maybe it will.
So beautiful. Yeah. How do you stop caring what people think?
It's not a one and done for me. That was the hardest part. For me, it was fear of visibility, fear of judgment. Until something in my life happened and every single fear I had went on steroids and all my fears came true and then some. And the judgment was bigger than I ever thought. And then at that point, I was like, okay, that can either completely break me or that could make me realize that I need to change something in my foundation. And that's what happened. I literally tore down the pillars that were in my life and rebuilt them and saw a foundation. And every relationship in my life has changed for the best. It was not an overnight process, but every single relationship has changed for the best. And I really advocate that for people. And I say, trust me, like, you do you and everyone around you will come to you or they'll fall away. And the people that fall away weren't those that were meant for you.
Wow. It's powerful. Just going into like the idea of women and some of the mistakes that we make. What's the biggest mistake that women make when they're just wanting to be loved?
I think that women, and sorry, and I'm generalizing now, of course, not every woman. I think that women really want to please other people and they forget about themselves in the process. I think that there's in chapter one, I talk about the outdated checklist. It's that checklist that we're supposed to get married by a certain age, have kids by a certain age, accomplish this by a certain age, have a great house, have a great body, look good, feel good, have time for your friends, do it all at the expense of what? At the expense of our own stress. There's no list. I say rip up that outdated checklist, right? RIP, rip it up. And so I think that women really don't realize that they have the power to really follow their own path instead of some outdated system that may not work for them, that society expects or their families expect or their friends expect. We really can forge our own path. And when we do that for ourselves, it gives freedom for other people to pursue it themselves as well.
It's great. You're so good at this, Lisa. I love talking to you. This is so great. Okay. How do people stop confusing people pleasing with being a good person?
Story of my life, right? If I was nice to people, then they would like me, then I was a good person, right? If I said no to them, that was a yes to me that came with an onslaught of guilt. We have to learn that it's okay to say yes without fear, no without guilt, and set loving boundaries. It's okay to be good to ourselves and still be good to other people, but not at the expense of ourselves. Because think about it this way. We're so worried about what other people think about us. But I always think about this, like, are they spending their day, like before somebody posts something, are they thinking like, what's Lisa Stewart going to think about this? Like, they're not thinking that at all. So why am I thinking about what other people are going to think about it, what I post and so forth? And so when I really went into that mindset and really realized that what people think about us is really none of our business, because they're going to think what they think. It doesn't matter. You're always going to have people who love you. You're always going to have people who throw shade on you. That's the drama diet. The more light somebody has, the more shade people are going to throw, and vice versa. So you do you and don't worry about what people think, and the right people will rearrange themselves to come into it. To your life.
It's so true. Yeah. I always say to people, if I don't work on me, I have nothing to give to others. So through me people pleasing, there's no point.
No.
You're never going to please everyone. But if you work on being a good person, if you work on yourself, on your confidence, on your self-love, on being a great person, on being a good person, everyone will love you. So you do the exact thing that you were wanting to do through people pleasing, through just being a good person and being great at what you are, because authenticity is the highest frequency. Authenticity is the frequency that people are attracted to, magnetized to, and they want to be involved in. When you're not authentic to you, you're playing second best or third best to somebody else. I want to be first place to Natasha Graziano. I'm not trying to be somebody else because I would never be first place. So you let everybody be in their own divine alignment and you be in your authentic self. And that is what people love, even if it's raw. Yes. I would say to people, I'm completely unfiltered and I'm raw as fuck. But I promise you, you'll love it way more than if I was to people please and say shit you wanted to hear.
100%, because people can feel your energy.
Yes.
People can feel what's real or not. It's really hard. It was very hard for me. It's still a work in progress to really be, to show my true colors, to show everything I'm thinking, I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. Like I go down the rabbit hole. You know, there's so many things that I do that people might think, oh my God, that's so strange. But not being me was hurting me too much, right? And like trying to fit into a box that wasn't meant for me, and then seeing other people accomplish things that I wanted to do but didn't feel that I had permission yet to do it, that was a big thing for me. Like, nobody needs to give you permission to be you. That was a huge thing. You have permission to be yourself, fully yourself.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
What's one thing that people need to do if they want more peace in their life?
Ooh, that's a good one. One more thing that people need to do is be centered, get centered, go within, and really say, there's so much noise going on around me. But the noise going on around me is okay as long as there's no noise within me. Clear the clutter that's within. Get quiet. Fun fact, when you get quiet, when it's silent, you can listen to the whispers of your soul. That gives you peace. Silent and listen, same letters, different words, right? So when you get silent, you can really listen within. When you listen within and you follow your true path, that alone gives you peace. Filter out the outer noise and follow your true path. Because when you don't feel aligned, when you don't feel at peace, is because you're not listening to yourself. So that's a very big, that's a guiding light for me. When I know I'm feeling out of sorts, it's because I'm not being authentic to myself.
It's powerful. Can you share a moment when life forced you to choose yourself?
Yeah. When my current husband and I, we had broken up, we got back together and he wasn't accepted by many, many people. I had to choose me by choosing him. And I thought that he came into my life to save me. But what I realized was he came into my life to show me that I can save myself. And by saving myself, it was everything I had to do to get to self-love and self-worth and go on a drama diet.
That's powerful. And I love the vulnerability that you've shared that. And I think the fact that you have this 2.0 relationship with this amazing man, your husband now, is so inspiring because it means you didn't give up.
No.
It means you decided to go through the evolution of who you guys were becoming. So you came together to become something greater.
Yes.
And that is so remarkable because most people give up.
But that was a knowing in me. I had this knowing. I just knew in my core. He was my twin friend. I just knew in my core. Just like I knew in my core I had a daughter waiting for me with him.
Wow.
You know, like
I knew that feeling too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mine wasn't the right person, but I knew, oh my gosh. As soon as I was pregnant, I went, oh, I know. This is my daughter. Yes. In fact, as I met him, I knew there's going to be a baby girl. Isn't that wild? You had that same feeling.
Yeah. We're intuitive. We need to listen to that tug in our gut.
Right.
To listen to that.
What happens when someone finally stops worrying about what everyone else thinks?
They can create, they're free, they have clarity, they have peace, they could spread their light, and they give other people permission to do the same. Listen, we're all, this is a horrible thing to say, but I say it with love and gratitude. We're all going to die one day, right? Like I always say, like, I'm going to die one day, so I might as well live today. And I reframed a word. So if I work out, I love to work out. Or if I work out really hard, I'm like, I'm dying. Or if I have a lot of work, I'm like, I'm stressing. I'm like, oh, I'm dying. I changed that word to I'm living because I'm alive and I get to work out hard and I get to work hard. So I've reframed that every time there's something stressful in my life, instead of saying I'm dying, because we are dying, I'm saying I'm living because not today. Today, I'm not dying.
I love that. And I live by that, by the way. People around me and I, you know, I do live in a pop culture world for a lot of my life. And people say words like, that's so sick. And I understand the meaning of it. It's like, that's so cool. And I, every time, pause in my mind, I'm like, no, I'm healthy, healthy, healthy.
Yes.
And I just say, cancel, healthy, healthy, healthy. Yes. They don't know what they're doing with that word. But I tell them, and I don't want to preach on to anybody, but I always tell them, like, sometimes tell them, I'll be like, you know, you should use another word.
Because
sick is so powerful. So don't, I, you know, don't do it. And you're right. When we say, oh, I'm dying. No, honey, I'm growing.
Yes.
I'm getting better.
Yes.
Like, just reframe it and use different words. And it's, I find myself a lot of the time, it's one of my habits. I say I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I'm a single mom. I'm running a whole business. And then I'm with the babies. And the few hours that I'm with them after work in the day, if they're screaming or there's chaos going on, because the baby's so young, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired. And then I'm like, pause. I am so blessed. Let me play the role of mom right now. Somebody else would love to be in the position where they had a screaming child. So, okay, here we go. I'm playing mom right now and I'm going through it. And this would technically be really stressful, but I'm just going to be numb to it and just smile.
Yes.
It's okay.
Yes.
And just pause. And it's hard, but I'm training my mind.
Yes.
And it's getting so much better. So as soon as the scene is finished and the baby is asleep or the scene has completed and now there's peace, I'm like, you see, it passed like a season.
I love that you said scene. And I love that you said pause because it reminded me of something I wanted to add to from before is that sometimes when people pause, we think that the pause is peace, but the pause is not. It's actually the internal chaos that they think they're pausing, but inside they're still stewing, like I'm pausing, but they're holding on to it so tightly. So something you said just reminded me of something. When something happens, and inevitably I will also say things that I don't mean because words are spells and I'll be like, I can't believe blah, blah. And I'll kind of say things that I wish I wouldn't. And then I'm like, I know I can't take it back, but I know that I can shift where my life is going to go. Because right now my life is going to end up in that movie. And I wanted to end up in this movie. And all we have is the now. So I sort of changed the past to change the future, if you know what I mean. So I'll be like, okay, I said that, but I didn't really say that. This is what I really said. And that sort of changes the energy for the future. Does that make sense?
So it's like, do you believe that words carry power? 100%.
I believe that everything we say and think and feel creates our reality. And when we inevitably dip into the shadows, that will create something that we don't want in the future. And if we realize it in the moment and be like, oh gosh, I just said something or felt something and I don't want my life to go in that direction, you can rearrange yourself, change your identity, change the trajectory. I think that parallel life will still be somewhere in the ethers, but will be somewhere else, hopefully, somewhere better.
So, yeah, it's so true. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Give us 3 tips today on what someone can do to apply the drama diet to their life.
Ooh, well, they could get my card deck.
Let's do one.
And we can do a card pull.
So this comes with the book or they can buy it alongside?
They can buy it alongside.
Right.
It's 51 cards. 51 is my special
number. And what are they?
It's recipe. There's actually 17 recipes, 17 exercises, and 17 quotes. Everything is fleshed out more in the book, but recipes and exercises are also at the end of each chapter.
So what do I do? I just choose one every day?
You pick one every day, and they're just quick tips to help you realign in a short time.
Okay, here's my card. And it says, figure out what lights your fire.
So you.
Then be the match. Literally, figuratively, and energetically. Ooh, I love it. Okay, so what lights my fire is my career. Like being on stage, being on my podcast, being in my energy where I'm preaching, where I'm teaching, where I'm just giving out that aura, that energy. Then be the match. Literally, figuratively, and energetically. Okay. I'm that.
Yes, you've got that. I feel like that's so you too.
That is so beautiful.
Thank you.
Ooh, these cards are exciting. Amazing. You guys are in for a treat. I know somebody's going to give one of those to someone. It's a great time for it as well right now. I think, you know, we're going into summer. There's lots of birthdays and events. It's a great book and it comes with cards. That's very unique.
Thank you.
We don't often see that. Thank you. So cool. I love it. Well, Lisa, before we go, I just want to play a quick round of rapid fire. You want to play?
Yeah.
Okay, these are quick questions. Okay. First thing that comes to your mind. Love or fear?
Oh, love.
Biggest lesson life has taught you?
Be grateful.
One word that describes peace?
Calm.
Boundaries or people pleasing?
Boundaries.
What's one thing you wish everyone knew?
Love is powerful.
Most powerful daily habit?
Gratitude.
Agree. A belief that changed your life?
I'm worthy.
What's something you're working on?
Still. Visibility.
What does success mean to you?
Being happy and at peace.
Beautiful. Lisa, if someone listening today feels overwhelmed, exhausted, and stuck in a life that no longer feels aligned, what's the first step that they can take today to start becoming the person that they're meant to be?
Stop, go within, find out what you really love despite all the noise, follow your heart, and try new things. If it doesn't work, then it'll show you what might work. Just try. Have no fear.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you. This is so wonderful.
Thank you so much, Natasha. I loved being on.
Thank you.
I'm going to put all of Liesl's handles below. So her Instagram's below, the link to the book and all the other wonderful parts. The podcast, your podcast, The Drama Diet.
Yes.
I love that. You've done really well that you kept all your branding with one name. Trust me, it's the best way.
Thank you.
I love that.
Oh, and I have his book as well. I forgot.
Yes. What's it called?
The Drama Diet for Kids.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. That could be very useful for kids. Mm-hmm.
So there we go. All the links are below, you guys. I hope you've enjoyed today's show as much as I have. This was such a beautiful episode. I get the pleasure, as you know, as a podcast host, of learning from such amazing people. And today was so wonderful. Share it with a friend if there's somebody on your mind today that you think would enjoy this show. If there's somebody out there today that you think needs to detox, or maybe you're just going to do a bit of a sub and send it to them, or you're going to actually just inspire them because today's show was so wonderful and you could put it in your group, in your WhatsApp group, your Facebook group. Maybe there's somebody who needs to be inspired today. You guys, thank you so much for your eyes, your ears, and your time. We love you. My name is Natasha Graziano, and I'll see you again for more next time. Bye for now.